I'd like to talk this morning on the idea of internalizing God's Word. Now right here, freestanding is paper and ink. But our point is, since we are believers, and since we're convinced this is the inerrant Word of God, there's more to it than paper and ink. We're to do something with it. We're to put it into our minds that we may have an active, obedient faith. You will turn with me to, and we'll read after the psalmist in Psalms 119. Begin with verse 9. It says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word." How can a human being get rid of sin from their life? By taking heed unto God's word. Does that mean just reading it and thinking, well, that's a bad thing to do, or that's a good thing to do? No, that's part of it. That's understanding. That's basic faith. But cleansing our ways is based on obedience to God's will, so we must put our faith into action. "With my whole heart have I sought thee, but let me not wander from thy commandments." We're to do it wholeheartedly. "Thy word have I hid in my heart." So we take it from the paper and ink and put it into our minds. "That I might not sin against thee." The word of God is how we know what sin is. It's how we know what righteousness is. "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." The word of God is how we know what sin is. It's how we know what righteousness is. It's how we know who Jesus is. And it's how we know who God is. We know God and Jesus externally from the Bible, but we don't know anything about their character. But in the Bible, we learn who they are, how loving, how agape they are, the sacrifice they made, so that we could be reconciled through the blood. By internalizing this paper and ink, which is Romans 10 and 17, "So then faith cometh from hearing, and hearing by the word of God." This is how our faith is built. It's how we cleanse our ways. It's how we seek Jesus in eternity. We learn these things from the New Covenant, and the psalmist put it beautifully in Psalms 119. The book of Psalms, or Psalms 119, is the longest chapter in the whole Bible. Now, if we read every verse and commented on every verse, we'd miss lunch. So we will condense it to our short time this morning. This chapter, it discusses the importance and the beauty in our relationship to God's Word. It was given to us by grace, by revelation, by God the Holy Spirit. He didn't have to. He didn't have to give us an opportunity to be reconciled with faith, by grace through faith. Grace by itself would save everybody that breathes, but it doesn't work that way. By grace through faith. Faith is work that must work. St. John, Division 6, verses 28 and 29, James 2, 14 through 26. So we see that we are to internalize the word. We are to put this word into action. A close examination of Psalms 119 reveals that we need more than just facts about God's word. We need faith in God's word. We see the importance of internalizing God's word in three different ways. We see an example of religious people in Jesus' day In Matthew 23 and 23, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. You should have done this and not left the other out. You should have done all of it." God's plan in the new covenant, Hebrews 8 and 10. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." What are these three ways that we're going to deal with? How do we internalize God's word? One, it is based on our attitude toward it. Do we believe it? Number two, how do we approach it? Do we approach it as great spoil, as gold, or just an old, dusty, musty, antiquated, outdated book? Last, do we apply it to our lives? Or do we say, well, that applied to them back then, or do we see it as modern? Well, number one, we need an attitude of seeking the Lord. Because we look around in nature, and we see His fingerprints everywhere. In design, in beauty, in harmony. We see God all over creation, in the rocks and the hills, valleys, flowers, trees, and birds. We know He's there. So since there is a God, and since there is the Bible, and it is His will, we need an attitude of seeking the Lord. Now, in the meantime, we're going to live in this world, and we need food and drink and shelter, but is our castle our slave? Is our job our slave? Do we put our house before God? Do we put our job before God? Do we put trips before God? Are we here when the doors are open? We're commanded to be here on Sunday morning. Do we go to Nashville to the car shows? Not talking about you, Junior. But do we go to Nashville to car shows instead of being here on Sunday morning? You see my point. We are to seek God. We are to seek God first. In chapter 119, and from now on, if it's relative to this chapter, I'll just say verse 10. What is the attitude that we should have toward His word? Verse 10, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." God is, His word is the truth. Jesus really did die for us. He really is coming back. The Holy Spirit really does work in the heart of the Christian. So we are to seek God, not half-heartedly. Well, I don't feel like it today, or I'm too tired, I'm too this. I've got bills to pay. Don't worry about bills. Think about God. Put God first. We're to aim at heaven. And in so doing, that first, we'll get a little bit of earth thrown in. But if we aim at earth, we're not going to get earth or heaven either one. We're to seek God first. If we first seek the kingdom of heaven, these other things that we need will be given to us. Verse 2. "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart." Now, what is our attitude? Well, Brother Joey at the Presbyterian Church said this. Well, if he happened to say the truth on a given subject, we appreciate that. But if it happens to be Calvinism, and he says no one can do anything to procure salvation by obedience to the will, then shame on Brother Joey. So what is our point? We seek God. We seek His testimonies and not the commandments and traditions and ideas and think-sos of mankind. If it doesn't measure up to what the Bible says, it's not worth anything. So our attitude is to seek His testimonies with the whole heart. We're to do this because we respect God as God. Verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. Your will. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 6. The prayer, the Lord's prayer. Thy will be done. Not Jesus' will. Not the will of the Holy Spirit. But the Father's will be done. We're to consider the realization that His Word is real and not just some idea that makes us feel good, but His Word is real. Verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Let me pluck at our earthly heartstrings. You know, if we was awarded a check via Publishers Clearing House for $20 million, say, and we got it in the mail, I don't think there's nobody here going to say, no, I really don't need that. I don't want to just take it back. Well, I won't put words in your mouth, but I wouldn't turn it down. I would like to think that I would put it to good use to help both me, my family, and the church above all else. My point of saying all that is this. We would approach that as great spoil. We would be delighted that we wouldn't have to worry about buying food. We wouldn't have to worry about paying bills. We wouldn't have to worry about buying new tires. We wouldn't have to worry about medication from the drugstore. Find us great spoil. Well, how do we approach the Bible? Does Tim Eldridge read his Bible every day? Do I find time for God? Now, if I can click on the TV and see the morning weather, get on Channel 7 in Cookeville, and say, yeah, it's going to rain today, and yeah, it's going to this. Right then, I have proven, if I do that every day, that I find time for something that ticks my clock. Nothing wrong with looking at Channel 7, but if I can do that every day, I can read at least, off the top of my head, 10 verses every day, which I hope I read more than that. Findeth great spoil. So, has Tim Eldridge found great spoil with his copy of God's Will, My Sword of the Spirit? If we gain the whole world and lose our souls, what have we gained? Nothing. This is how we go to heaven. This is worth more. 10 billion times 10 billion times 10 billion into infinity more than that check from Publishers Clearing House. We must approach this as wealth, as life in heaven. This is how we will, through faith in this, in action, is how we will get to our mansion in the heavens where we will ever be with the Lord. Verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. His will be done. His word is settled. It's written. It's His will. God is unchanging, not willing that anybody should perish. If we perish, it will cause we made the wrong active choice based on the word of God. His word is settled. Verse 104. We're to approach His will with the intellect. Look at it in verse 104. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Understand what? Who Jesus is. That His blood cleansed our sins. That salvation is conditional. We must have faith. We must have an active, obedient faith. We touch that blood in the water of the grave of baptism. We arise to walk in newness of life, Romans 6. Galatians 3:27, we have put on Christ by being baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. So we note that we understand how to do these things to please God through His precepts and understanding them, verse 104. Through understanding what the will of God is, the psalmist says, therefore I hate every false way. Now listen to me close. Don't misunderstand me, please. I agape every person that breathes. I love every person that breathes air. I pray, as you do, for people to be have the opportunity to be exposed to the will of God to be saved. From my diaper, I have been taught against denominationalism. My daddy set the example to me. Put God first. A piano. Well, everybody knows anything about me at all. I'm an amateur musician and I love music. And if it was left up to my ideas, my think-sos, I wouldn't mind having a piano. I wouldn't mind hearing Doyle Lawson every once in a while in church. Would you, Ed? But is it about what I like? Is it about what I feel? Now, how do I really feel about a piano, about music and service? Therefore, after I considered thy precepts and got understanding, I hate every false way. Now, how do I really feel deep down about music and service? Didn't say music and independence. I said music here. I can tell you unashamedly that I hate it in church. And the people that have it, their friends up the road, they're not pleasing God. Why? Us to touch the ark to keep it from falling? Sure, that's a good idea. Adam and Eve ate food in the garden. Surely that's a good idea. Do you realize that sin was passed on humanity because they ate food? Can you imagine somebody going up to a tree in the forest and saying, here's blackberries, and God would want me to eat that? Well, take that idea and go to the garden. Well, this is food. I ain't going to die. Surely it'd be all right for me to eat. Sin and death was passed on humanity over eating food. So a piano ain't going to work. I hate it. Now, apply that to everything else. Faith only. Unconditional grace. Blah, blah, blah. We are to hate these things because the Word begs to differ. And when I look at, if I look at denominational TV and think, well, that looks good. Why don't we do that? Well, does it measure up to the Word of God? See, if I see something, say, that Charles Stanley does, and I want to do that, well, if I have studied the Word, I'm going to think, I'm sorry for him, and I hope he repents. But if I haven't studied, I'm thinking, well, why don't we just do that? You see my point? When we get into the Word, and we believe the Word, and we're doing the Word, and we really mean it and taking God very seriously, we're going to hate false ways. We're not only going to just not like it, we're going to hate it. Verse 69. The proud, God hates pride. Pride is, after pride comes a big fall. Who is man, a piece of clay with breath in it, to think that we are something when we are just nothing but a product of God's mind that He has happened to have grace on? So we must be meek under God's control. Anyway, verse 69, the proud have forged a lie against me. But, however, I will keep thy precepts from my whole heart. Why? Because we have hope. Because we believe in the Word of God. We believe in what Jesus did. We know where we stand with God this day. We're to seek God with our emotions, our will. Verse 167. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. You know, a young convert,
seen Grandma do one thing at her denomination one way, but yet has seen the truth. Maybe starting off with a little reminiscence, thinking, I missed that. But the further we get rooted and grounded in the truth, when we let God be God and let His will be done, when we have kept His testimonies through the years, through time, through trials, through temptation, we will love His testimonies exceedingly, because we know in whom we are believing. We know where we're going when we get rid of this dusty temple. We're to delight in God's Word. Verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I'll not forget thy word. Again, we pick up the Bible and we're delighted. We're happy to take a hold of it. We're thinking, I'm going to get rid of this temple one of these days. I'm going to be with God. Therefore, this is my map. This is my way to God's heaven, to my mansion. I love it. I delight in it. Verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. Can you see that check in the mailbox from Publisher's Clearing House? Or a big wheelbarrow rolling in with $100,000 bills adding up to $20 million? Can you just see somebody counting, smelling that name? Wow, I love that stuff. Do we ever do that with this? When we're studying and reading and searching and praying and meditating and thinking, I love this. I enjoy this. The psalmist did. 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. When Tim Eldridge doesn't keep room in here for God, how can I meditate on it? When I'm watching junk on TV, when I'm listening to junk on the radio, when I'm listening to somebody tell me junk and laugh at it to be sociable, anything else I can think of, I can't meditate on it and delight in it if there's garbage coming in. Because you know what is going to happen? Garbage will come out. 127. Therefore I love thy commandments. New Testament. Faith and love are commandments. Remember that. Faith and love are commandments. Therefore, I love thy commandments. Publisher's Clearing House again, $20 million. Above gold, I love thy will. I love doing your will. I love thinking about your will above that $20 million in the mail. It is my yea above fine gold. Refined gold, without all the junk in it, the impurities. Precious, fine gold. We love the law of the Lord, His commandments, above that. 103. God's word is sweet. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Oh, how good honey tastes with milk. The Bible should taste that way to us if we are walking in His will. Well, number two, how should we approach the Bible? How should we approach His will to internalize His will? Verse 11. Now, picture, I seen some books yesterday. Is what last night after I left, Mama's in the hospital, broke her hip. After I left her, I saw some books at Books A Million that so helped made your ass fast. If you stood it up, that it was that tall. And it was about that wide. Can you imagine, you know, it's a coffee table book. Could you imagine sitting in a chair and holding something up like that? Well, how do we approach this book? Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart.
You know, somebody was taking them big old books seriously when they wanted to print them up. You know, somebody's going to like this. Somebody's going to delight in this. That's old. Anyhow, we can get this in smaller print. We can't say it's too heavy for me to hold up. You know, we can even get it in a listening format. We don't even have to hold it up. We can get it in foreign languages. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. I didn't just leave it as that big book. I saw it Books a Million laying on the coffee table just so it looked pretty. Or my big old family Bible laid up there in the big old leather casing just so it looked pretty. But I hid thy word in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. So that's how we're to approach it. We're not to leave that big old book laying out on the table to look pretty. We're to pick up our copy, our sword, and hide it in our heart. Why? So that we won't sin against God. We're to be exposed to it. Ephesians 3:1-4. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, remember to be exposed to it. Verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, if you have heard, how's that apply to me and you? If we have read about Acts 2:38, we'll know that that's how we get the book to the blood of Christ, and that's how we get the Holy Spirit as a gift. If we have read, if we have heard. How that by revelation, he made known unto me the mystery. Now what did he do with it? He wrote it down, and we have a copy of it. The revelation that was given to this man. He wrote it down, and now you and I have it. As I wrote before in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in what? The mystery of Jesus. We understand the mystery of Jesus through the Word of God. Verse 15 of Psalms 119. We're to meditate on it. How many times has Tim Eldridge took time out of a day, not worrying about Publishers Clearing House or going to somewhere in Finland to see some rare collection. But how many times have I made time to take out with just me and the Lord and meditate on His thoughts and not what I'm wanting to think about? Verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. You ever worked on a project and you was fever pitched about it, and the more you done, you got to making mistakes. You laid it down, put it aside, got a cool drink, got a cup of coffee, and just sat down, relaxed your body, and just let your mind just keep meditating on what you were doing. And you think, oh, that's how we're to do it with the Word of God. And we're to pick up the Bible, we're to read it. It wouldn't hurt us, wouldn't hurt me anyway, to take notes, pick up the dictionary, look up words I don't understand, look up passages, see how they work together, look at the context of it. And I'm thinking, I'm not getting this. Just lay it down, go out on the porch swing, look up a cup of coffee, and think about it. Meditate, consider it, let it work in your mind. Sometimes, you know how when you're working on a project, nailing up the tube for you will just come to you. Oh, that's how I do it. The Word of God is the same way. But we can't meditate on it. I can't meditate on it if I ain't read it. We should do this early in the morning before we fall asleep at night. Verse 148 and 149. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me. Make me alive according to your judgment. We can do this riding to and from work. Well, I can't read going down the road. Yeah, but Tim Eldridge can put a CD in that big old CD player. I can take George Jones out, and I can put the King James or whatever version, I can put that in. Garbage in, garbage out. Nothing wrong with listening to music. I'm just saying, you know, well, I have a busy schedule, now this, now that. You know, if you're driving somewhere and you got 45 minutes, you can listen to a whole lot of chapters in 45 minutes. Last, in internalizing God's word, or to simply apply it. It's one thing to have that big old funny looking book that I seen yesterday laying on the table. But it's another thing to pick it up and read it. Well, the Bible ain't that big. And it ain't funny looking. And I shouldn't have one out on the coffee table just to look pretty. Nothing wrong with having one there. But the point is, you know, I can set one on my coffee table. It can say Thomas Kincaid on it. And I can never pick it up and I can be dust on it. And anybody coming in my door can look and see that my pretty Thomas Kincaid Bible has dust on it and the pages are not frayed. But if our sword has been picked up and used, it's going to be war. So we're to apply it. We're to apply the sword. And if we apply and wield and use the sword, it's going to be worn. It's going to be a worthy instrument of battle against sin. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man, a young woman, cleanse their way? By taking heed unto thy word. We're to take it heed. We're to do it. In conclusion, verse 49, God's word gives us hope. There's two kind of hopes in the Bible. One is wishful thinking hope. I hope Jerry will get me some presents for my 49th birthday next June. I wish he would, is what I'm saying. Maybe there's a chance that he will. Now, the second kind of hope is we have hope in Christ, not wishful thinking, but we know that if we have picked up this word, we have approached it as fine gold, better than fine gold, better than getting $20 million in the mail, that we love it and we hate falsities because we're meditating, reading, searching, and believing. We have hope. Verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. The lesson is ours. If the Lord's church can help you in any way, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Number one, if you've brought shame on the church, don't worry about what somebody's going to think. If your heartstrings are being pulled by your conscience, fix it today. Be ready to meet God this evening should he come back. Number two, if you know what to do to get the Holy Spirit working in your life, if you understand that Acts 2:38, we're to be baptized for the remission of our sins, our body is to go down into the grave of water, completely submerged, and while there our faith touches that blood, the blood's in the water, we arise to walk in the newness of life. If you understand that, today's the day to do something about it. If the church can help you in any way, let your wishes be known. Us together as we stand and as we sing.